So here we are on this beautiful Sunday, this amazing, wonderful opportunity to celebrate and have the Holy Spirit bring to mind and relive in our lives the most joyful part of the Paschal Mystery, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. On Friday, we talked about how this isn't just ceremony, it's not just mental prayer either, but we really want to make sure that we open ourselves to what the Holy Spirit is doing to conform us to the death of Christ on Friday. We want to make some type of sacrifice. People don't know that even though the church no longer, especially in regions like the United States, doesn't require people to fast or to give up meat, every Friday is still the memorial of Christ's passion, and you're supposed to make some form of sacrifice. And again, you know, it's not a sacrifice to give up hot dogs and hamburgers if you have lobster or something else that you really enjoy. So that was kind of one of the ideas here, was that maybe instead of doing the traditional thing that had been there since the Middle Ages, when culture was way different, they would have the freedom to pick their own sacrifice, something that would really go to help them spiritually. But it wasn't the abolition of sacrifice or living the Paschal Mystery in our lives. So today, we talk about how Sunday is the kernel of the liturgical year. Very important. It's like the foundation stones. Each of these little celebrations of the resurrection are like our participation in Christ's life, and they form a foundation for us as we listen to God's word, as we, again, live out our lives with the Holy Spirit guiding us to Christ. So let us begin the invitatory. Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will proclaim your praise. Which one should we choose for today? How about the short one, Psalm 100? Come worship the Lord, for we are his people, the flock he shepherds. Alleluia. Cry out with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing for joy. Come worship the Lord, for we are his people, the flock he shepherds. Alleluia. Know that he, the Lord, is God. He made us. We belong to him. We are his people, the sheep of his flock. Come, worship the Lord, for we are his people, the sheep of his, the flock of his, that he shepherds. Alleluia. Go within his gates, giving thanks. Enter his courts with songs of praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. Come, worship the Lord, for we are his people, the flock he shepherds. Alleluia. Indeed, how good is the Lord, eternal his merciful love. He is faithful from age to age. Come, worship the Lord, for we are his people, the flock he shepherds. Alleluia. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. So the office of readings has hymns for different parts of the day, because it really is the one office that's kind of floating, doesn't have an assigned time. Not that I'm too strict about the assigned times anyway. At this daybreak hour we rise, admonished by prophetic voice, to sing once more our praise to God, the Father, Son, and Spirit blessed. So therefore let us offer hymns before the perfect three in one, of one pure substance each the same, forever worthy of our praise. At this dark hour of fear and dread, the devastating angel came to slay the firstborn of the land and bring to Egypt death and woe. Yet for the just, then living there, there was the hour of saving grace. The angel saw the sign of blood and awestruck dared not punish them. All Egypt wept with loud lament. So many lay in frightful death. The Israelites alone rejoiced, protected by a lamb's pure blood. Now we in truth are Israel, and we rejoice in you, O Lord. Protected by the blood of Christ, we laugh to scorn our evil foe. Make us worthy, King of Kings, of glory when your kingdom comes, that we may merit on that day to sing your praises evermore. Amen. Who can climb the Lord's mountain or stand in his holy place? Psalm 24. The Lord's is the earth and its fullness, the world and all its peoples. It is He who set it on the seas. On the waters He made it firm. Who can climb the Lord's mountain or stand in His holy place? Who shall climb the mountain of the Lord or stand? Who shall stand in His holy place? The man with clean hands and pure heart, who desires not worthless things, who is not sworn so as to deceive his neighbor. Who can climb the Lord's mountain or stand in His holy place? He shall receive blessings from the Lord and reward from the God who saves him. Such are the men who seek Him, seek the face of the God of Jacob. Who can climb the Lord's mountain or stand in His holy place? O gates, lift high your heads, grow higher, ancient doors. Let Him enter, the King of glory. Who can climb the Lord's mountain or stand in His holy place? Who is the King of glory? The Lord, the mighty, the valiant, the Lord, the valiant in war. Who can climb the Lord's mountain or stand in His holy place? O gates, lift higher heads, grow higher, ancient doors. Let Him enter, the King of glory. Who can climb the Lord's mountain or stand in His holy place? Who is He, the King of glory? He, the Lord of armies, He is the King of glory. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I will pray this psalm prayer in its entirety, even though it's optional. When Your Son was unjustly condemned, Lord God, and surrounded by the impious, He cried to You, and You set Him free. Watch over Your people as the treasure of Your heart, and guide their steps along safe paths, that they may see Your face. Through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Who can climb the Lord's mountain or stand in His holy place? And then we're going to have Psalm 66 next. Antiphon 2 is, Bless our God, you nations of the world. He has given us life. Alleluia. Cry out with joy to God, all the earth. O sing to the glory of His name. O render Him glorious praise. Say to God, How tremendous Your deeds! Bless our God, you nations of the world. He has given us life. Alleluia. Because of the greatness of Your strength, Your enemies cringe before You. Before You, all the earth shall bow, shall sing to You, sing to Your name. Bless our God, you nations of the world. He has given us life. Alleluia. Come and see the works of God. Tremendous His deeds among men. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river dry shod. Bless our God, you nations of the world. He has given us life. Alleluia. Let our joy then be in Him. He rules forever by His might. His eyes keep watch over the nations. Let rebels not rise against Him. Bless our God, you nations of the world. He has given us life. Alleluia. O peoples, bless our God. Let the voice of His praise resound, of the God who gave life to our souls and kept our feet from stumbling. Bless our God, you nations of the world. He has given us life. Alleluia. For You, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You led us, God, into the snare. You laid a heavy burden on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but then You brought us relief. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Bless our God, you nations of the world. He has given us life. Alleluia. Then we have the second part of Psalm 66 as our next prayer, after Antiphon 3. Listen to me, all you who revere God. Let me tell you what great things He has done for me. Alleluia. Burnt offering I bring to Your house. To You I will pay my vows, the vows which my lips have uttered, which my mouth spoke in my distress. Listen to me, all you who revere God. Let me tell you what great things He has done for me. Alleluia. I will offer burnt offerings of fatlings with the smoke of burning lambs. I will offer bullocks and goats Come and hear, all who fear God. I will tell what he did for my soul. To him I cried aloud, with high praise ready on my tongue. Listen to me, all you who revere God. Let me tell you what great things he has done for me. Alleluia. If there had been evil in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But truly God has listened. He has heeded the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God who did not reject my prayer, nor withhold his love from me. Almighty Father, in the death and resurrection of your own Son, you brought us through the waters of baptism to the shores of a new life. By these waters and the fire of your Holy Spirit, you have given each of us consolation. Accept our sacrifice of praise, that our lives may be a total offering to you, and may we deserve to enter your house and there with Christ praise your unfailing power. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Listen to me, all you who revere God. Let me tell you what great things he has done for me. Alleluia. So the verse introducing the lesson is, God's word is alive, it strikes to the heart, it pierces more surely than a two-edged sword. And on this beautiful Saturday, actually it's not Saturday, it's Sunday, how silly of me, but the bookmark was still in the place for Saturday, we begin a brand new book that helps us point toward the final coming and judgment of Christ on our lives. So we're going to read from the beginning of the book of the prophet Daniel today, 1 through 21. The young Israelites keep their faith at the court of the king of Babylon. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon came and laid siege to Jerusalem. The Lord handed over to Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and some of the vessels of the temple of God, which he carried off to the land of Shinar, and placed in the temple treasury of his God. The king told Ashpenazes, his chief chamberlain, to bring in some of the Israelites of royal blood and of the nobility, young men without any defect, handsome, intelligent, and wise, quick to learn, and prudent in judgment, such as could take their place in the king's palace. They were to be taught the language and literature of the Chaldeans. After 3 years' training, they were to enter the king's service. The king allotted them a daily portion of food and wine from the royal table. Among these were men of Judah: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief chamberlain changed their names, Daniel to Belteshazzar, Hananiah to Shadrach, and Mishael to Meshach, and Azariah to Abednego. But Daniel was resolved not to defile himself with the king's food or wine, so he begged the chief chamberlain to spare him this defilement, though God had given Daniel the favor and sympathy of the chief chamberlain. He nonetheless said to Daniel, "I am afraid of my lord the king. It is he who allotted your food and drink. If he sees that you look wretched by comparison with the other men of your age, you will endanger my life with the king." Then Daniel said to the steward whom the chief chamberlain had put in charge of Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please put your servants to the test for 10 days. Give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then see how we look in comparison with the other young men who eat from the royal table, and treat your servants according to what you see." He acceded to this request and tested them for 10 days. After 10 days, he looked healthier and better fed than any of the young men who ate from the royal table. So the steward continued to take away the food and wine they were to receive, and gave them vegetables. To these four young men, God gave knowledge and proficiency in all literature and science, and to Daniel, the understanding of all visions and dreams. At the end of the time the king had specified for their preparation, the chief chamberlain brought them before Nebuchadnezzar. When the king had spoken with all of them, none was found equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And so they entered the king's service. In any question of wisdom or prudence which the king put to them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his kingdom. Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus. Responsory prayer. The Lord filled them with wisdom and learning, and the grace of his Spirit strengthened them. The Lord filled their hearts with understanding. In any question of wisdom or information which the king directed to them, he found their answers better than those of all he had consulted. The Lord filled their hearts with understanding. And our second reading, we'll see what part of the first reading this is meant to reflect upon. Usually it is meant to be a reflection on the first reading, or some small part of it. But we have a homily written in the second century, so we don't even know who wrote it, but people have prayed with it and they liked it well enough to preserve it despite not knowing who wrote it all this time. Brethren, and the caption is, Christ willed to save those who are perishing. Brethren, we ought to regard Christ, Jesus Christ, as God and judge of the living and the dead. We should not hold our Savior in low esteem, for if we esteem him but little, we may hope to obtain but little from him. Moreover, people hear these things and think them of little importance, commit sin, and we ourselves sin if we do not realize what we have been called from, who has called us, and to what place, and how much suffering Jesus Christ endured on our account. How then shall we repay him? What fruit can we bear that would be worthy of what he has given us? For how many benefits are we not in his debt? He has enlightened our minds. He has called us sons of a father, as a father does. He saved us when we were about to perish. How then shall we praise him? How repay him for his gifts? Spiritually blind, we worship stones and pieces of wood, gold and silver and bronze, things made by men. And our whole life was death. Darkness enfolded us, and nothing but gloom met our eyes. Then by his will, we escaped from the cloud that enveloped us and recovered our sight. For he saw our many errors and the damnation that awaited us, and knowing that apart from him we had no hope of salvation, he pitied us and in his mercy saved us. He called us when we were not his people and willed us to become his people. Rejoice, O barren woman who never bore a child, break into shouts of joy, you who never knew a mother's pangs. For the deserted wife shall have more children than she who has a husband. When he says, Rejoice, O barren woman who never bore a child, he is speaking for us, for our church was barren until children were given her. When he says, Break into shouts of joy, you who never knew a mother's pangs, he means that we should not grow weary like women in labor, but tirelessly and in all simplicity offer our prayers to God. He declares that the deserted wife shall have more children than she who has a husband, because faith has now made our people, who seemed to have been deserted by God, more numerous than those who were thought to possess him. Another text says, I have come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. For it is those who are perishing who must be saved. It is a great and wonderful work to uphold those who are failing, rather than those who already stand firm. Christ willed to save people who were in danger of losing their souls, and he has been saved the salvation of many. When we were on the point of perishing, he came and called us. Responsory prayer. God has destined us to endure wrath, has not destined us to endure wrath, but to win salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that we might live with him, in him. God rescued us from the power of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his own beloved Son, so that we might live in him. And at morning prayer, we would have had this beautiful gospel canticle antiphon. That poor widow gave more than anyone, because of in her poverty she gave all she had. And at evening prayer, we would have had, he is not a God of the dead, but of the living. To him all things are alive. Alleluia. So I always like to include those because sometimes they can be quite inspiring. On Sundays, I mean, I include them. God of power and mercy, protect us from all harm. Give us freedom of spirit and health in mind and body to do your work on earth. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. Let us praise the Lord and give him thanks. And that finishes our office of readings for today. I don't think that I have much to say. I continue to proclaim God's word in scripture and in these beautiful excerpts, which are oftentimes the very best and wisest things that the saints have said over time. But we will continue to call people back to the church. You know, one reason Pope Francis was actually elected, I think, and one reason why the Holy Spirit allowed that to happen and maybe even promoted Francis's candidacy, because people need to know that the church is a big tent and a place where they can find mercy. You know, sometimes there are just so many barriers for people, especially people in certain situations that are now common, to enter the church, that it becomes almost impossible from a human perspective to get them to be able to have a chance to enter the church. And I know many people say, oh, but I did it. The thing that we need to realize is that everything we have is grace. And sometimes I think it's hard for Catholics to understand that it's God who moves us to be able to make extraordinary sacrifices. Most people don't automatically assume, for instance, that they have an obligation to make great sacrifices to enter a religious organization. Instead, we want to be people of grace, realize God is out there to save all of us, and it's our responsibility as his priestly people to reveal why it's worth making sacrifices to enter the Catholic Church. And we have to reveal that in our life, in our works, in the way we do our jobs, in the way we live our social and political and family lives. So thank you very much, and I hope you have a blessed and beautiful Sunday, and you enjoy the Mass, enjoy everything. But Francis, I thank God that he is removing some of the barriers that make it harder for people to take an interest in the Catholic Church and promoting the entry of many different types of people into the Catholic Church. Now, that doesn't mean I'm a fan of Francis and everything that he's done, but thank God for his promotion of a pastoral approach, of a merciful approach, because especially in the United States of America, in our pastoral situation, that is what we need. We need it. That's why Protestant churches are growing faster than we are, because we don't necessarily have a strategy to relate to the many people who are spiritually hungry and thirsty. So Dana's signing off.